Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
We want to thank you for downloading our podcast. The name of the show is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, where we teach, using biblical principles, the best way, the only way to handle money. The name of the study is Faith and Money Matters. Follow these principles and you will not only eliminate your debt, but you can continue living debt-free. Learn more at CompassCatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and with me today are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. And today's topic is relatively simple. In fact, that's the title, Keep It Simple. And John, when we were prepping for the show, you mentioned that your dad had a term for people that kept it simple.
My dad used to say that there are two kinds of people in this world. There are simplifiers and complicators. That statement is really applicable to your personal finances also. If you Google personal finances, you get 195 million results in less than 1 second.
That sounds like a complicator to me. I would never Google that. That's a lot of information to slog through.
How much more complicated can personal finances get than almost 2 million results? And every one of those results has got something that you should be doing with your finances.
Totally unbelievable. Too much to even think about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, if all you're trying to do is make ends meet, all the advice in the world can be boiled down to one thing. Spend less than you make.
That sounds like a simplifier statement.
A simplifier. You know, and the most simplified example of that, I remember when we were in Poland in 2012, and we went to see the bishop in Bielsko-Biała, and we were explaining to him what we were doing with Compass Catholic. And he held up two fingers, kind of like the peace sign. He had his index finger and his middle finger, and he pointed to his middle finger, which for most people's hands is the longest one, and he said, "Income." And he pointed to the index finger, which is the shorter on most people's hands, and he said, "Spending." And then he turned his hand around and he said, "Don't mix them up."
Which is what most people do.
Exactly.
So spend less than you make, right?
You can't get any simpler than that.
When you're struggling to make ends meet each month, worrying about anything other than that is just a waste of time. You know, you can wait into the future when you get your finances straightened out to get more complicated advice when you're in a financial position to do that. But for keeping it simple right now, making ends meet, spend less than you make.
Yep, that's the basics. So you got to focus on those basics. Don't worry about those other details, at least not until you have the basics completely under control with your actions. Don't make things more complicated than that. Keep it simple. Spend less than you earn. And we got some ideas to help you make that happen.
So the first thing is you need to keep track of your spending, because if you're not doing that and you're using credit cards, you could be spending more than you make, not knowing it. Now, we had a friend that told us that he was raised on an 80-20 budget. And that was give 10%, save 10%, and spend 80%. Which on the surface sounds really good and it's very simple. But if you're not looking at where that 80% is going, you don't know whether it's going to the right place or not. If you're spending it on fancy coffees, on car payments, on cars you can't afford, buying things you don't need, you really need to understand where that 80% is going.
So I'm assuming part of the 80% is the rent, the groceries, the power.
It's everything.
Okay, it's everything. It's everything. Not just go out and have a nice dinner every night of the week.
Right. That's why I think that not keeping track at a lower level on that 80% is a mistake, because you could go out to eat every night of the month and not have enough money for the rent
exactly.
or the mortgage payment. So you really need to get it down another
level. But you did
level.
Follow the 80-20 rule.
Well, I like the 80-20 rule.
So
that keeps it simple. So if you're not paying attention to where you're spending the money, then you have no idea whether your money's being wasted or if it's spent on something that's a good purpose.
You know, the other piece about that is you have to understand the difference between gross income and net spendable income. And if you're doing 80-20 on your gross income,
you're going to be in trouble.
You're going to be in trouble because you're only going to get about 75% of that gross income in your paycheck. By the time everything's all said and done, you're going to have about 75%. So you got to make sure you know what number you're using to calculate your 80-20.
And the gross income is what you're paid. The net is after tax.
After tax,
health insurance.
Yeah, all that kind of
all
stuff.
All the deductions.
Your employer takes out.
No, when we coach individuals or couples, we'll say, tell me about your net income.
And they look at you like they don't know what you're talking about.
No, they give you the gross number.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why we always ask for a pay stub.
Yeah. Yeah, because you do need to. If you don't get it in your paycheck, you can't spend it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and once you get it in your paycheck, tracking every penny gives you a surprise usually. There's always things that people are spending money on that they don't understand. They don't know that their money is going in that direction. Like we had one guy that was thought he was spending like $50 a month on lunches.
Lunches, yeah.
And it turned out to be $200 a month once he started tracking it. But it just, it goes slowly. So it's real easy to lose control of where it's going.
Oh, we have a friend that would stop every day at one of those coffee stores. And you probably know which one I'm talking about. And he would get a coffee. And it was not just a coffee.
It was a coffee with 13 adjectives attached to it.
Supercalifrasti, whatever.
The more adjectives attached to that coffee, the money goes up. It's 50 cents per adjective.
He did it every day.
Yep.
Monday through Sunday, you know?
And then started again on Monday.
Yeah. Can you imagine over the course of the year? That's $35 a week times 52 weeks.
Yeah, it's over $1,000.
It's over $1,500 on coffee.
That you could make at home and cut out some of the adjectives.
Hey, for $7.50, you can stop by my house.
I'll sell you coffee for $5.
I'll give you two cups to go.
So you need to start by documenting every penny you spend for 30 days, whether you're spending it by credit card, debit card, or cash. And at the end of that 30 days, you'll be able to see where your dollars are going, and you'll be more conscious of where you're spending on things that may be a waste of your hard-earned dollars. It may not sound like a lot, but spending an extra $20 or $30 here and there can really add up.
So another thing that you need to consider is your wants versus your needs. You might want to eat out, but a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that you made at home and took to work for lunch is going to satisfy a need to eat. Think about that. Once you've been tracking for 30 days, you can see which expenses are your needs, mortgage, insurance, basic food needs. And you can also see what is a want or a discretionary spending item. And take the discretionary spending and rank it according to the order of importance. Do you have a gym membership that, you know, you're paying for, but you only use maybe
twice a month? I was thinking twice a year.
Do you really need to eat lunch at a restaurant every day? Or could you bring your lunch from home, pack a sack two or three times a week? What about parking? Is that costing you $100 a month? Could you carpool and share the expenses, or find a lot a little bit further away that was much less expensive and then actually exercise as you walk to work? You know, there's all kinds of things that you can do.
And parking further away does away with a gym membership, right? Because you're getting your exercise walking. So, John, if I can summarize what you were talking about, everything that is absolutely necessary and all of the extras needs to be looked at to see if you can cut costs anywhere.
Absolutely.
Nothing is too sacred to cut.
The more you cut, the better off you are. So another thing that you should probably be doing is automating your savings plan. It's really easy. It doesn't take anything at all to say, oh, I'm going to save X number of dollars per month. Then actually following through and doing that is a little bit more difficult to accomplish. So, you know, if you have to personally move money from one account to another in order to save it, it's probably not going to happen. It's also really difficult if you wait to save, because then you're using leftover money, and you know how that goes. There's nothing ever left over.
There's never too much money at the end of the month. There's always too much month at the end of the money.
Talking about leftovers, it reminds me of a story. When I was a kid, we lived in Denver, and when we had friends come to visit, we would always go up for breakfast on Saturday morning up into the mountains. And there's nothing better than having breakfast over a campfire, having a stream running by, and you know, kids being able to play on the mountainside, and everybody had a good time. And my dad would cook breakfast for everybody. And before he started breakfast, he always took two eggs and put them in his pocket.
So he would have food for himself.
It's it exactly. It didn't matter how many eggs were available, they would eat them all. And that's the way savings works, though. If you don't do it first, you're not going to have anything left. And that's what just popped into my mind. Sorry about that, but that's the way it is.
So it's a good idea to set up an automatic transfer on paydays from your checking account to the savings account, and that will build up your emergency savings and your short-term savings.
And treat it as a realistic goal, and treat it like a regular bill. No matter what your income is, you have to prioritize saving over spending a lot of the time. Otherwise, you'll never be able to set any money aside. And you can set up automatic transfers monthly, weekly, or every time you get paid to ensure that your savings account grows consistently.
And for long-term savings, we recommend you sign up for your company's 401k plan, especially if your company offers matching money. Otherwise, you're wasting a free gift. The more you can automate your savings, the better off you are. And by automating them, you can quickly see it grow as you save for an emergency and for the future.
When working with individuals or couples, the want and need discussion always comes up, and for some, it's difficult to differentiate between the two. They feel that everything is a need. So before you make that large purchase, ask yourself, is this a want or is it a need? If it's a want, ask yourself, do you have the money to pay cash for it? If the answer is no, then pass on the purchase until you can afford it. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching those biblical principles on the best ways to handle money. Go to compasscatholic.org. Learn how we can help you eliminate your debt altogether. Well, today our discussion is all about keeping it simple. We went through wants and needs, keeping track of all your spending habits, automate your savings. Evelyn, let's continue with some simple recommendations from you and John.
You know, another way to keep it simple and make sure your savings stays in the savings account instead of being spent is to make it difficult to access. So put savings into another account, maybe like an interest-earning savings account or a money market account at another bank, so it makes it harder to access. If you can access your savings easily, it's easy to spend it, but if it's harder to access, then it's easier to leave it invested and save it and not spend it.
You're absolutely right, Evelyn. And you know, while you were talking about that, I thought of something else. Everybody has fixed expenses. How many times do you actually take a look at those fixed expenses and challenge yourself on them? Is this something that we have to have? Is there a way to do it cheaper? And if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're probably drifted into some of these fixed expenses over time, and you need to really take a long, hard look at those also. You know, look at the house. Is it too expensive for your current circumstances? Maybe it's time to sell and move to a less expensive area and downsize. Now, that has all of its own challenges too, and it's not anything to take lightly. But it's something that people have done. I mean, we've done it a couple of times in our lives. Where we've downsized and then we downsized again.
And then we upsized and then we downsized. And
you know, you got to go with the flow. But you know, would you be better off renting? And you have to be careful about that because rents will increase. And, you know, what might be affordable today in 3 years might not be affordable. So you really have to put your thinking cap on. But if you're challenging those fixed expenses, you better have your thinking cap on anyway.
You know, sometimes I think people look at one number and make decisions on that, like the cost of the mortgage versus the cost of the rental. But they don't take into account everything else that comes along with a house. There's the taxes, there's a yard upkeep, there's maintenance, there's new appliances. You know, there's a whole bunch of other costs that come with a house. And if all you're doing is looking at the mortgage payment versus a rent payment, that's not a one-to-one comparison.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because you're, you know, the property taxes, depending on where you live, can add anywhere from a couple hundred dollars a month to maybe $1,000 or a little bit more per month. So, you know, yeah, that's a good point, Evelyn. You can't just look at that one number that encompasses just a piece of what is the overall household
spending
plan. Yes, yep. Absolutely.
What about the car? People should look at their car payments, right? Or their car transportation costs.
Transportation costs, yeah. I think a lot of people get nailed because they get new car-itis. And, you know, they go out and they buy a brand new car. You know, it smells good. And
it smells good until the first time the kids get in it after a soccer game.
That huge payment is going to tear you apart. And after you've got the new smell worn off of it in 2 or 3 months, it's just another car. And there's tons of them out there that are just like yours. You're not driving anything new or different. Maybe you would be better off driving a more late model used car that maybe cost, you know, 50% of what you spent on that brand new car. If you evaluate it and it looks like you could save $200 or $300 a month on your car payments, that's a great step. Because not only will you save on your car payments, you're probably going to save on your car insurance. Those are things to be thinking about.
How about a money buddy? Have you ever heard that term before? Somebody to help keep you accountable if you have a hard time staying on track.
Oh, I like the idea of a money buddy if they're going to give me some money.
Nobody's going to give you money.
would this be like an accountant?
No, it's more like a friend to help encourage you and keep you on track. It's like we've met so many couples where the husband and wife don't even talk about money, mm-hmm. whereas they should really be on the same page. If they're trying to get out of this trap where you're just making ends meet every month or barely scraping by, the husband and wife should be working together to help keep each other accountable. Or maybe it's a like-minded relative or a trusted friend that'll help you stay on track with what your goals are in cutting back your spending or improving your savings.
Or, you know, if you're a single person, you know, you don't have a spouse to help hold you accountable, you get a close friend or a cousin or, you know, maybe a parent, somebody.
Someone who is the fiscally responsible.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
Exactly.
It's like a personal trainer for your finances.
Okay, got it.
A money buddy, I like that. How about renegotiating your bills? You said something earlier about just taking bills for granted. And things that gradually creep up, like maybe the car insurance or the house insurance or the garbage, the cost for the garbage man.
Or the cable.
The phones, you know, things just creep up gradually and you don't pay much attention to them. And then you go back and you look a couple years and it's gone up 300 or 400%.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good one, Evelyn. I think that's something that most people, I mean, we've experienced it on a couple of different items, pest control. Every quarter we get a new $5 increase or 5% increase on what it costs to control all of our great Florida bugs. Another thing you can do is to evaluate your lifestyle. You know, it's so easy to create habits without realizing. So look at your lifestyle and see if there's things that you can cut back on or maybe even eliminate. One example would be dining out less often so that you can cook at home. You know, one of the things that we've done is we've started doing a lot of dinner cooking together, which makes it a little bit easier on you because you're not sitting there in the kitchen working the whole time and having to do that. but it also allows us to try new things.
Well, the thing I like about it is that you cut out a whole bunch of recipes you wanted to try, so I don't have to keep thinking of what to make for dinner tonight, which gets to be really old after you've been married for a while. You just simply run out of ideas, you know?
What about packing your lunch to take to work with you? That's another way of, you know, instead of going to the cafeteria or going out to the local fast food place and spending $10 or $12 every day for lunch, take your lunch. Comparison shop for groceries. You know, buy at a discount grocery store or use store brands or go to some of these big box stores that, you know, you can buy potatoes on one side and dresses on the other side and oil for the car even in a different corner. So find places where you can buy the things that you buy and buy them less expensively.
Which gets back to tracking your spending, because if you're tracking your spending, you'll know how much it costs for a roll of the kind of toilet paper you want to buy, and you know where it's cheapest to buy it. If you're not tracking your spending, you don't know what a good price is for that stuff.
That's absolutely correct. And a lot of times you go to a big box discount store, and it's more expensive than the grocery store.
And you don't know it.
Yeah.
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 I agree with that. How about this? How about trying a no-spend week? Do you think we could do that?
I know you're thinking out there, how are you going to get by with not spending anything? But it is possible, maybe not to go an entire week, but you know, you have to kind of plan ahead. You take your lunch to work, eat dinner at home, watch free movies at home, you don't go out to eat, all those kinds of things where you're spending money, you can eliminate for a week's time. And think about the money that you can save.
You know, what occurred to me when you were talking about that, John, is kind of making a game out of it. You know, what can we not spend money on today? What do we usually spend money on a regular basis? And how can we prevent ourselves from spending money on that today? If you kind of tackle it from a, this is fun, let's get engaged and excited about it. It's better than kind of slogging along with your arms dragging behind you and your knuckles on the ground thinking it's a pain. So the more you can do to energize yourself and keep yourself motivated.
Well, and the other thing is, it's not just a delay of spending. You know, if you're listening to this, you might think, well, yeah, I'm not going to spend it this week, but next week I'm going to make up for it.
I'll spend twice as much next week. Yeah.
If you can avoid spending money this week, maybe you can put that money aside and apply it towards your debt or something like that, as opposed to just delaying. It's like delayed gratification kind of a thing. You know, you're delaying your spending.
Well, the other thing is, if not spending any money this week sounds too radical, maybe you just have one day a week when you don't spend money. Just try it for a day and see how energized you get from that. I think another thing we need to talk about is tackling the debt. That's a great way to get your money back in order, isn't it?
Well, I can't think of any situation where paying off the debt's a bad thing. You know, the money that you're wasting in interest payments can give you a huge financial cushion that's necessary to have more spendable income each month. And if you can put whatever you can spare against that debt, even if it's only $5, it's going to help out against eliminating that debt.
You know, none of these ideas are very complicated, so we've kept it simple. But making these many small adjustments can lead to big changes, because the less you spend on unnecessary things, the more money you're going to have to take care of the necessary things.
What will drive your financial success more than any investment advice is to consistently spend less than you make. You know, the vast, vast majority of people can't do that. And so they struggle to get ahead financially. And when you're overspending on non-essentials, you will run into problems paying for the essentials. The bottom line is that we're called to be stewards of all the blessings that God has given us. And that can be summed up in 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy.
Remember the overall message in today's show, keeping it simple. Spending less that you make in a responsible manner goes a long way to being a good steward. Okay, before we get out of here today, let's go to our email and answer a couple of questions we received this week. All right, John and Evelyn, here we go. I received a call from a debt collector about a debt from 9 years ago. It was a fee from an electric company that I did not pay because I don't feel I should have been charged that fee. The collector threatened to report it to the credit agencies, but isn't that an empty threat after 7 years?
Collection accounts can only be reported for 7 years and 6 months, 7.5 years, from the date you first fell behind to the original creditor. However, if a creditor or collector sues you afterwards and gets a judgment against you, then that can be reported separately and a new reporting period starts all over again.
Doesn't a debt collector have to prove to you with documentation what you owe? I mean, just because somebody calls you doesn't mean much.
They have to provide some documentation.
So there should be some kind of documentation Yes. The person should get.
All right, John and Evelyn, this one is a frequent question that we receive, not only through email, but also in our Bible study that we teach, Faith and Money Matters. Okay, John and Evelyn, here we go. I'm 28 and single. The question I have, how much life insurance do I need?
The purpose of life insurance is to replace the income of the breadwinner. So if you're not married and you have no family obligations, you really don't need to have a specific amount of life insurance.
I would think the only reason you might want to buy it now is to get it before you could possibly have a serious medical problem, and the insurance would be either more expensive or impossible to get based on that health challenge. But outside of that, I agree with you. If you're single, no obligations, you don't need it.
And just buy the least expensive policy that you can get.
Always term.
Now, if you have a question or two for John and Evelyn, or maybe you have a financial challenge that you're facing and you would love to get some advice, maybe a second opinion, by all means, send your questions to askask@compasscatholic.org. The email address again is askask@compasscatholic.org. And if you have feedback on today's show, or maybe you have a topic that you would love to see us discuss, let me give you a separate email address. That email address is info@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, we want to first wish you a very Merry Christmas, and second, remind you that we have a brand new podcast available every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down to the homepage, click on podcast, and for this one, look for Keep It Simple. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.